now. Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, we are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of September 2018. And I am so delighted to have as my guest for the very first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Murungi Igweta. He is pastor of Trinity Baptist Church of Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, and we are going to be addressing the theme, the gospel of God's sovereign grace in Nairobi, and we're also going to be announcing the 2018 West Coast Bible Conference, where Murungi and a number of other speakers will be on the lineup at the Providence Baptist Church of Sunnyvale, California, coming up very soon, but it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Murungi Igweta.
It's a great honor being with you, brother. Thank you so much for having me here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Oh, it's the pleasure is all mine, brother. And am I pronouncing your name correctly?
You are. Yeah, you're pronouncing my name very much correctly, as if you're a Kenyan.
Great. And originally, Pastor Murungi was going to be right here next to me in the studio because he was visiting Carlisle, Pennsylvania on the 10th of this month. But I had an unexpected extended stay in Jacksonville, Florida, which did not enable me to arrive back in time to do the live program. In fact, it was not only my plans, but it was Pastor Murungi's plans. He departed Carlisle, Pennsylvania earlier than he thought that he would be departing, and so therefore we had to postpone our face-to-face interview to a future date, but I'm so delighted we were able to schedule one today while he is here in the States. Before we let our listeners know about the West Coast Bible Conference, tell our listeners about Trinity Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa.
Thank you. Trinity Baptist Church, Nairobi, is a church that began in 1978. So we are celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. Actually, the celebration itself been on the 6th of October in Nairobi. It's a church that was planted by Keith Underhill, who came from Britain. He went to university in Bristol University and became a Christian there, was converted under the ministry of Jeff Thomas at Alfred Place Baptist Church there in Aberystwyth. And along the line, he sensed a call to the ministry and especially to the mission. And he went to Kenya in 1968 as a geography teacher. And that school where he was sent happened to be the very place where I was born, right a few yards from my home, is the school where Keith taught, providentially. But he taught there in the school for 3 years and then went back home and was sent for seminary education at Westminster, Philadelphia. And then in 1975, the church in Aberystwyth sent him back to Kenya to plant the church. But the church did not take off until 1978. So that's the kind of history that we've had with Kid Underhill, who is now retired. He retired 3 years ago and relocated back to his country in Britain. He lives in Liverpool now, though he is very closely involved with us. Even as I speak right now, Kid is in Nairobi. The church has been in existence for those 40 years. In terms of our belief, we are a Reformed Baptist church, fully subscribing to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, which was quite rare. And even right now, there are very few churches in Kenya that would be Reformed. And even those that are Reformed, most of them would have some relationship with us, either directly or indirectly. So that's basically about Trinity Baptist Church, with a membership of 128 members now, two elders, myself and Eric Abual, and we have eight deacons serving alongside us at Trinity Baptist Church.
Well, praise God. And one of my former pastors, Mark Grimaldi, who still is pastoring Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, New York, in Merrick. I remember before he became a pastor there, he was training for the mission field under Keith Underhill and was intending to stay there in Kenya as a missionary, but God had other plans and raised him up to be one of the pastors at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. Coming up very soon, West Coast 2018 West Coast Bible Conference is being held at the Providence Bible Church of Sunnyvale, California. And I love the lineup, especially since some of these brethren on the lineup have been guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I have thoroughly enjoyed interviewing them, including Dr. W.R. Downing, pastor and professor and author, Dr. John Waldrip, pastor of Calvary Road Baptist Church in Monrovia, California, Dr. Paul Nelson, who's also a pastor, professor, and author, Dr. Eddie Delcor, professor of theology and author, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, pastor and president of First Love Ministries and First Love Radio, which airs my program, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, every day via live streaming, and of course you, Pastor Marungi Igweta, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church of Nairobi, Kenya. The only two of these men that I have not yet interviewed are Dr. Waldrip and Dr. Nelson, and I hope to interview both of them soon. In fact, we had once, not long ago, had Dr. Nelson scheduled to be interviewed, but something came up providentially that hindered that interview, but I do intend to get him on the program, perhaps to speak on his book on presuppositionalism at some point in the near future. Tell us specifically what you will be speaking about at this conference.
So I would be speaking. So the conference is about the need for biblical, the necessity for biblical hermeneutics. Various subjects have been lined up. And myself, I would be speaking on practical principles of biblical hermeneutics. I hope to show from the scriptures. You know, there is that statement there in Acts 8 regarding Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, where, let me just get hold of the passage. Philip basically told, the Bible says that he opened up his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. And the point is that any biblical preacher has to show that the Bible is a book that is about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. And that whatever you may say or not say, that must be said, that salvation is through faith in Christ alone. Because he is the one appointed by God for salvation, for the salvation of sinners. So that's the gist of my message, taken from Acts 8, verse 35, that statement.
Well, this conference is being held very soon, September 29th and September 30th, at the Providence Bible Church of Sunnyvale, California. Sunnyvale, California. That's one word, by the way, Sunnyvale. And for more details on the conference, you can, I'm looking at the flyer here, and for some reason I can't find any phone number. If you want to attend the conference, you could at least go to the website of the church, the Providence Bible Church of Sunnyvale, California. And that website is, I'm getting that up right now, pbc-ca.org. That's PBC, for Providence Bible Church, -ca.org, and there will be contact information for you there. So you can make arrangements to attend, and I would strongly urge you to attend because of the fine folks, the very impressive folks that are involved in the conference. Well, now it comes time for one of my favorite parts of the program. When I interview first-time guests, I typically have them give an account, a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the religious atmosphere, if any, that they were raised in, and then what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives to draw them to himself and save them. So I'd like to know that about you, brother.
Well, it's always a great privilege to to speak about how the Lord graciously moved in my life to draw me from darkness into the marvelous light of his kingdom through his son. So I would be more than happy to do that. So I was raised up in a Roman Catholic home. My father, my mothers were involved in a Roman Catholic church where we attended.
And by the way, brother, if you could, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, speak as closely to the speaker of whatever you're using as possible, because your voice is somewhat quiet.
All right. Okay, I've increased the volume of the microphone.
Thank you.
Yes, I was raised in a Roman Catholic home, as I was saying, and just about when I was 11 or 12 there, I got to read history, and especially the medieval history, and I got to know of the atrocities committed by the Roman Catholic Church against Protestant believers. And that disturbed me. I wondered how can Christians kill each other like that. So the implication of that was that I decided I would not have anything to do with the Roman Catholic Church. And I told my mother that I wouldn't be attending church with her anymore. I really felt very disillusioned with the church as I knew it. The Lord used that to stir my heart to want to know more from the Bible. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible sanction killing of other Christians? So I got to be reading the Bible, and I was very interested in reading religious books for that reason. Now, as I said, when Keith came to Kenya, there was a church that was planted also near where he was teaching in my rural home. So I would have connections, and friends from that church would give me books, and I would read them, just as I went on to read the Bible. Then I eventually would read the scriptures, read through the Bible, but not going to church. And I didn't want to go to church. And anyone who attempted to bring the gospel to me, I would simply say, I'm not a Christian and I'm not interested, even though I read the Bible and read the religious books. And from that church, I gathered a few books like Knowing God by J.I. Packer. I read Martin Lloyd-Jones, Preaching and Preachers, believe it or not, as an unbeliever, and so many other books like those. Fast forward, and a few years down the line, after I'd gone through school, I got a job in Nairobi, and I met with a former classmate who was looking for a job in Nairobi. And he said, if you come across any kind of a job, please look for me and help me get a job. And he said, if you want to get hold of me on a Sunday morning, go to such and such a church, and you will find me by the church notice board. That's where I would usually go after the service to see whether there would be any job opening in any of the companies, because the church used to do that. So 2 weeks down the line, I went, I got a job for him, and I went to look for him in this church. And very providentially, that Sunday morning was raining. So in as much as I didn't want to go into the church, I was only interested in my friend, I had to go in because I didn't want to get wet. So I went in. And as soon as I entered that church building, the Lord put it in my heart how sinful and depraved I was and how different I was from everyone else in the church. I looked at them, and I didn't see them as a bunch of hypocrites, as I thought. I saw them as sincere people who are worshiping God. They knew what they were doing. They were happy about it. And I thought, why should I not be like this? So the pastor of the church preached and eventually said, if you're there, you're troubled about the state of your soul, go to the room on my right and we will speak with you about it. And I went into this room and I found a man there who told me that, I know why you've come. You have this big problem that you cannot solve. It's your sin that have brought you here. But I'm sorry to tell you that I cannot solve this problem either. So I asked him, then why did you call me here? And he said, because I know the one who can, the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins now, you believe in him, and he would forgive you all your sins, no matter how awful they are. So I sat down and he presented the gospel to me. He told me of the grace that there is in Jesus Christ, of his mercy to forgive sins. He told me of his death on the cross for the salvation of sinners. And he urged me to believe in him. And that Sunday morning I felt the weight of my sins. I felt how the Lord helped me to see how self-righteous I was, how proud I was, and he helped me to turn to him, believing in Jesus Christ. And I left there with peace brimming in my heart, and I still thank and praise the Lord who so saved me.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, tell us about your journey into the Reformed faith specifically.
So after some years, I found myself pastoring a church that I didn't want to pastor. What happened was that...
Well, first of all, you have to tell us how you became a pastor.
you know, it's all very closely connected. So I went to this town, found a church planter, linked up with him, helped him with the church planting, and that denomination kind of let me pastor that church, and we drew the church planter. And along the line, I met up with a man who was Reformed, and we were preaching at the same meetings. We've been invited to preach. And he told me that he wasn't going to make an altar call, and I was translating for him. So he said he wasn't going to make any... he was not going to ask sinners to move forward after his preaching, what is called the altar call or the invitation. And I wondered, why would you preach and not invite people to be saved? He didn't explain to me, but he said, if you want to go and if you want to make an altar call, you're free to do that. We can talk about it later. So he preached, and he preached so well. I think he preached from John, John 8, where the Lord says that if you do not believe in I think it's I am saying, if you don't believe, you will perish. If you don't believe I am, you will perish in your sin. And he went on to urge people to believe in Christ. But then he didn't make an article, and I thought, how do you get a cow with so much milk? You milk it, but you don't have a bucket. You're milking to the crowd. That's the way I So as he preached, I was agreeing with everything he was saying, but it disturbed me that he wasn't going to ask people to be saved, because I personally felt like I would go forward and be saved. So I thought, no, I'm not going to let this message go. I will call people forward, because I was translating for him. So he preached and left, and I went on to call people to be supposedly get saved. A few people came, and some even closed up their shops to come and respond to the call. And the following day, we met with this Reformed pastor, and he told me very bluntly, if you would humble yourself, the Lord could use you. And he told me that you have to do that which is in Scripture and nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. So it challenged me to show him from the Bible where Jesus or his apostles, John or Peter or Paul, called people to be saved as I did. And obviously I didn't have a passage except to appeal to so many people who do it, so many preachers who call people forward. So anyway, we got into contact with his pastor, and we started learning the Scriptures with him. And eventually, he pointed me to so many books which I read, and I was convinced that I had been leading people astray by my making the article and many other things that I taught which were not founded on Scripture. So I moved into this church, this Reformed church, and I was under his ministry for 3 years. Then I saw the need to be further trained and asked for internship at Trinity Baptist Church under Keith Underhill in 2009. We moved in there, and 2010 I became a pastor there with Keith until 2015 when he relocated to Britain.
Now, the pastor who was initially speaking or preaching the same event where you were preaching and where you conducted the altar call, what was that preacher's name? The Reformed preacher?
Yes, Michael Otieno.
Okay. Now, if you wouldn't mind, because not all of the listeners of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio are Reformed, we have Arminian listeners, we even have non-Christian listeners, we have Muslim listeners on occasion, but tell us why, since that event, you have come to abandon the practice of the altar call. People might be confused by that. I know that, first of all, it's obviously not a practice that is laid out in the Scriptures. Of course, there are some things that we who are Christians do that are not laid out in the Scriptures either, that we don't believe are violating scriptural principles, like handing out of tracts, for instance. There's nothing in the Bible that says we are to hand out pieces of paper that have the gospel written on them and that kind of a thing. But when it comes to an altar call, there can be some dangerous and misleading elements that are attached to it. And the altar call, or the invitation as some people describe it, I mean, obviously, I'm sure as a Reformed Baptist, you believe that we are always to invite people to Christ, but that is not the same thing as walking down an aisle and saying a prayer. And especially when it goes into more serious problems is when a preacher or pastor declares that person with certainty that they are saved, just because they've read that prayer or recited it or repeated it. But if you could tell us about why you think the altar call system is something that we should abandon if we are already doing it.
That's a very good question, especially where I come from. It's almost the only way that Christians would be brought to the faith at Chihuahua. Now, the reason why I believe alcohol is very, very dangerous is because when the preacher, so the preacher has the business, it is his duty to declare the gospel and tell people the good news about the salvation that there is in Jesus Christ and urge them to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus Christ. And we should do that. But if we take that further to ask people to move forward, to raise their hands, to repeat a prayer, we are taking a responsibility that belongs to the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who should lead the Holy Spirit to convict man, sinners, of their sin. To show them the gravity and the awfulness of their sins, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. To believe in Jesus Christ, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Ours is only to declare the gospel and leave the Holy Spirit to do his work. When a preacher tells a sinner to do certain things, the sinner might trust in those things instead of trusting in the Savior. That's where it gets very dangerous. The sinner believes that I have become a Christian because I have lifted up my hand, because I've moved forward to the preacher, because I've repeated the prayer. The prayer itself is strong because the prayer that is repeated, it's basically the preacher's prayer. It's not the sinner's prayer. It's for the sinner to ask for God's mercy himself. No one should do it for him. It should not be done by prophet. If you look at the people who may repeat the sinner's prayer, they might be made to believe that they are converted on the basis of what has happened when they are not. Because the Bible doesn't say that this is the way you are to be converted. If you use it, then the sinner would be misled and would be deceived, be made to believe that he is a believer when he is not, and live a sinful life when thinking that he's a believer, but he's not. And that's why so many people would struggle with sin and so many things that are unchristian and think that they are Christian. And so those who have seen, those who have repeated, the preachers who have had their people repeat their sinner's prayer, I prefer calling it the preacher's prayer, would then have another category of Christians that they call nominal Christians, that is, people who identify themselves openly with Christianity, but they are not showing fruit of repentance. So I believe that the altar call has a potential for inoculating sinners from the gospel, since they believe that they are saved when they are not. The other danger relating to altar call is that sinners have a false assurance that is not based on the word of God, it's not based on the conviction of the Spirit, it's based on what the preacher says. And that assurance, if pushed further, could lead these people into having a false belief in the preacher and produce a cultic following. So I would be very wary of any preacher doing or calling sinners forward, as I've described.
Yeah, it might be a big surprise to a lot of our listeners who are unaware of this, but the altar call or the invitation a system where you invite people to walk forward to where the preacher is standing so that you can say a prayer with him and be declared a saved individual. That did not even exist for the entirety of church history until the 19th century, and Charles Finney basically was the originator of that practice. It began with the anxious bench, I believe, and then it morphed into the altar call, and a lot of people might be shocked to hear that because they think that this is such a vital, a key element of Christian worship and of evangelism. They treat it like a third sacrament or a third ordinance. I mean, there's much ceremony involved in it. There's usually music playing in the background. There is a solemn type of parade going on here, especially if you have a lot of people coming forward. And this kind of thing was never occurring in churches, in Bible-believing churches, ever in the history of the church. So for someone to automatically assume that if you do not have these practices, that you are not concerned about the lost, that you are not interested in evangelizing and that kind of a thing, that you're a hyper-Calvinist, all kinds of accusations that are hurled against those that don't have altar calls, you got to look into, number one, the Bible to find one to prove that that should be a part of the regular practice of the church. But also, you go through the annals of history and you won't find it until the 19th century. I can remember on a number of occasions visitors who were not Reformed, not sovereign grace believing Christians, who would hear one of my pastors preach a powerful message and then conclude with a prayer, telling people to call out to God, of course, to repent and call out to God where they were sitting. I can recall on a number of times these non-Reformed Christians saying to me afterwards, "He blew it. Your pastor blew it. He gave this wonderful sermon, this powerful sermon, and then when he could have invited people to come forward to be saved, he just didn't do it, and these people might go home. They may get hit by a car. They may die and go to hell." Now it's really frightening when you think that a Christian would put that much weight in the power of the so-called altar call, as if that is going to determine the eternal destiny of people who hear a sermon. That's when it really, you can see that it has become an idol to people when they go that far.
Yeah, and I think we also need to point out that we are not saying that all the people who responded to altar call as the way that they came to the faith, that they are all unbelievers. We're not necessarily saying that. What we are saying is that it's unbiblical, and it has potential for danger. It's possible that the Lord sovereignly used such a flawed means to bring one to salvation.
Yes, even I think Ian Murray, if I'm not mistaken, was saved at a Billy Graham crusade through an altar call. I'm pretty certain that was the case. And I believe possibly even Errol Hulls, I'm not sure. But I know that people that have been saved by the providence and sovereignty of God during an altar call have even eventually written against the practice, even though God used it to save them personally.
The way I see it is when Balaam, a false prophet, had his donkey speak, or God used the donkey to speak, it was a very rare occasion. Now, it would be wrong for us to say that we will wait for our donkeys to speak like it did for Balaam. So I see God overruling sovereignly to use a flawed method to bring in his elect to the fold of Christ.
Amen. And he uses a flawed method every time we open up our mouths and tell people about the gospel and about the Bible, and every time, as eloquent and as powerful and as gifted as a preacher is, there is a flawed element of what he is saying and doing, because otherwise he would be speaking as an apostle, the God-breathed words that would be coming right through him miraculously.
And I think it's because of our own flawed nature, we need to be very, very close to the scriptures and declare the gospel and bring that which is in the Bible alone, because it's only the Bible that is not flawed.
Amen. We have to go to our first station break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Murungi Egweta, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. You can ask him any question that you would ask any pastor. You could ask him specifically about Kenya, about specifically Nairobi. You can ask him about his testimony that he gave earlier. You can ask him just a theological, a doctrinal question. We would welcome all of that. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And continue to pray for Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, who many of you know recently had very serious and dangerous and complicated open heart surgery And many of you also know he's recovering home now after a successful surgery. He seems to be recovering well, but he is not out of the woods. There are several weeks to go before the doctors are completely at ease with his recovery. So please continue to pray that our great physician, Jesus Christ, raises him up out of that condition to fullness of strength and health and vitality. And even more so that as a result of this frightening trial in his life, the Lord makes him even more spiritually healthy than he ever has been before. And we thank you for your prayers, and I know Mike Gaidosh personally thanks you from the depths of his heart for your prayers during this very frightening trial in his life. That's solid ground, Christian Books, and it would also be a good idea to order as many books as you can from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, to help make up for the dip in sales that occurred while Mike was laid up in the hospital. I'm sure he would appreciate that as well. And please always mention that you heard about Solid Ground Christian Books from Chris Arnes and on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Murungi Egweta, our guest today, I just have one more announcement. Our new sponsor, Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is having their Reformation Conference on Saturday, October 6th. And Sunday, October 7th. The theme is Why the Reformation Still Matters. And the speaker is Mike Abendroth. He is senior pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. He's the author of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Preachers, The Sovereignty and Supremacy of King Jesus, Sexual Fidelity, and Evangelical White Lies. He is also a very popular conference speaker amongst Reformed Christians and has been a guest on this program. And if you would like to attend this conference, you can go to gracebfc.com/conference. That's gracebfc, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. And as I said, the conference is Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th. Grace Bible Fellowship Church is located on 1250 Colonial Road in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and you can also call them for more details at 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229. We are now back with our guest today, Pastor Murungi Egweta, who is pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. And Pastor, before we go to any listener questions, I just have want to follow up a little bit with our discussion on the altar call.
Yeah.
We have, I think we have to be also clear that there are churches, there are dead mainline liberal apostate churches that do not have altar calls because they don't even believe the people hearing the message have any need of salvation. They don't believe in the altar call for an entirely different reason, and we would join those that have altar calls in giving them, these mainline or liberal or apostate churches, a stern rebuke and a call to repentance, because they are just as lost from behind the pulpit as those in their pews listening to them speak. So we do know that there are people that don't have altar calls for entirely wrong reasons.
That's right. I would agree with that.
And we do have a listener in Cork, Ireland. We have Mary in Cork, Ireland, and her question is, I am aware of many Africans who are into the faith movement and the prosperity gospel. I think she means the word of faith movement, perhaps.
Yes.
Can you tell me, do you know of any who have departed from this false gospel and come to the Reform beliefs? If so, do some or any attend your Reformed church? Thank you for taking time to read this question. God bless you. That's Mary in Cork, Ireland.
Yes, I know of so many men or pastors and Christians who have departed from the Word of Faith movement. Two of my best friends, Barnabas, who is a pastor in Mombasa, Kenya, and another pastor called Eli Achok, who is actually his biological brother and a pastor in the western part of Kenya, are some of the men who were steeped in the Word of Faith movement. and are now denouncing it and showing how unbiblical it is. Pastor Barnabas has written an article that I would highly recommend. It's called The Death of Faith in the Word of Faith Movement. It's an excellent article on the subject. So I do know of people who have come from that background, and even at our own church, in Trinity Baptist Church, we have many who have come from the Word of Faith movement.
And I know personally a pastor here in the United States who's actually originally from the United Kingdom, from England, Pastor John Sampson. He has been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times. And Pastor John Sampson was not only a believer in the Word of Faith movement at one time, he was also a pastor in the Word of Faith movement, and he was also a television talk show host on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, which is a Word of Faith television network. And he not only departed from that movement, but he became a cessationist and a Reformed Baptist, and he is pastoring King's Church there in Arizona. And I know that it's in the Phoenix area. I just can't remember right off the top of my head what city, but I will get that information to our listeners if you email me and ask me about Pastor John Sampson. If you happen to live near Arizona or live in Arizona or plan to visit there or have loved ones there. Let's see. We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, can you tell us something about the physical description of Nairobi, Kenya? Many of us who do not live in Africa or who have never visited there may have all kinds of ideas and pictures in our mind that do not fit the reality. We may think of Africa as all jungle or all desert or what have you, but I know that there are cities and other more built-up areas that would not fit the typical stereotypical picture of Africa. That's interesting. A typical stereotypical. but if you could, respond to RJ in White Plains, New York.
So Nairobi is a modern city. It's a city with many skyscraper buildings and motorways or highways. It's modern in every sense. I mean, it should be a city like you would have one in the U.S. There would be a huge difference in terms of the number of people you would see walking. In the cities here in America, everyone is driving, basically. But then in Nairobi, you'd see so many people walking. That would be a difference. The other difference would be Nairobi has a number of slum dwellers, people who live in very low, slum areas where their housing is basically very poor. That's another difference. I suppose even here you have homeless people, and so it would be a city like any other, I would say.
Well, thank you, RJ. And keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word in White Plains, New York, and beyond. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, can you tell us what are the greatest rivals of biblical Christianity in Nairobi? What are the primary cults and false religions that are having a tug of war with true Bible believers over the souls of the lost?
I would say that the biggest or the largest group that we are dealing with, I mean, there are so many, but the largest group right now is the Word of Faith movement. They promise earthly, temporal blessings while we are promising people eternal and permanent and irrevocable blessings in Christ. But because so many would walk by sight and not by faith, they see their promises as more appealing, and so they have such a huge following. They have so much money as a result, also because of the way they ask for people to give, promising them that if they give, then they would be blessed by God. So the huge movement would be the Word of Faith, and that's because they've infiltrated even what you would regard as mainstream Christianity. There would be word of faith in Presbyterian churches, in Baptist churches, in Methodist churches, even in Roman Catholic churches. So the word of faith movement would be the greatest enemy of the gospel in Kenya. There are other movements like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons are expanding pretty fast, and obviously there is the Islam as well.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that the Mormons would be a threat in Africa, because that, I would assume, must involve ignorance on the part of many of the black Africans in regard to the history of Mormonism, which was clearly a racist cult.
They
people, I have spoken with Mormons, and they get very upset when I say this, and they will say that, well, you are a Baptist, and there are Baptists in the Ku Klux Klan. Well, there's a difference between a Baptist who is a moron heading for hell and a prophet of the Mormon Church who spoke racist things as commands of God and the laws of God, as divine revelation straight from God through his lips. That is an entirely different scenario when you have Brigham Young writing things in their sacred documents that involve blacks not being able to achieve progression to godhood, as they believe faithful Mormons will achieve if they are obedient to their religious teachings and practices. The teachings of the Mormon Church, and before the 1970s, was that blacks could only achieve the level of servants of white, of whites in the celestial kingdom. And so this is a really evil and racist religion that only changed its views out of convenience of losing tax-exempt status for their schools and so on. But if you could respond to that.
I don't think many Kenyans would know that. You know, people would just follow a religion, not so much try to find out what happens or what tenets they may have had in the past or even now. I know of people who are members, who've been members of a church for 20 years, but they've never read their own church constitution. So there would be a lot of ignorance when it comes to spiritual things, generally speaking. People would wake up in the morning, go to work, do all due diligence about work or about school, but they would be less careful and diligent when it comes to spiritual matters, which I don't understand. But anyway, the Mormons would be appealing to an average Kenyan because they present themselves as a very prosperous, very wealthy community.
Yeah, their buildings and so forth are typically very well built and stunning to look at.
Yeah, and well manicured lawns would be very appealing. So that's the kind of thing that would appeal many Kenyans who have come from a very poor background.
Yeah, especially the temples, the ward chapels would not be necessarily all that interesting to look at. But do they have a temple in Nairobi?
Do they call their buildings temples?
Well, just the temples are specific sacred places that are not the ordinary places where they gather every Sunday. That's where they have weddings and other things that are more sacred in their religion.
I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Let me say that.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. This is a longer than normal break. It is longer because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires of us a longer break so that they can air their own commercials and their own public service announcements to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. Please use this time to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, which means the more likely we will remain on the air because we rely on their financial support. But also, take this time to write in questions for our guest, Marungi Igweta, at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnson will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. That Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection. And that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. If you order $50 or more worth of merchandise and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will receive not only free shipping on your entire order, but you'll also receive absolutely free the book, The Journalable Psalm 119, published by Reformation Heritage Books. That's yours free by ordering $50 or more worth of merchandise and mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We just have a few announcements to let you know about before we return to Murungi Igweta. This weekend, the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, is having their Creation and the Authority of the Bible Conference featuring keynote speaker Dr. Robert W. Carter of Creation Ministries International. That's Friday, September 21st, and Saturday, September 22nd. Word of Truth Church of Farmingville, Long Island, is located on 1055 Portion Road in Farmingville, and you can call them at 631-806-0614, 631-806-0614. And you can also go to their website, wotchurch.com, W-O-T, standing for Word of Truth, church.com. Then coming up, we have at the end of this month, the conference that we informed you about earlier on in this program, where my guest Murungi Igweta is one of the speakers. That is the 2018 West Coast Bible Conference. That's being held at Providence Bible Church in Sunnyside, California. And you can get more information on this conference at firstlovepublications.org, who is one of the key sponsors of this event, firstlovepublications.org. And the speakers of this conference include, as I mentioned already, Murungi Igweta, and Dr. R.W. Downing and Pastor Joe Jackowitz and Dr. Eddie Delcour and others. So we hope that you go to this conference if you live in Sunnyvale, California, or nearby, or if you can get there from wherever you live. That's Providence Bible Church in Sunnyvale, California, and that is the 2018 West Coast Bible Conference. And once again, you can go to firstlovepublications.org, firstlovepublications.org, or you can even go to firstloveradio.org that live streams this program, firstloveradio.org. Then, coming up in October, we have the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not October. It is, it is October, and it's the Reformation Bible College. Man, I am losing my mind here. Reformation Conference. The Reformation Conference being held by Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That is our latest sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The conference that they are having is October 6th and the 7th on the theme, Why the Reformation Still Matters, featuring speaker Mike Abendroth, senior pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. And if you want more details on the Reformation Conference at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. By the way, I intend to be there, so I hope to meet you there if you go. You could go to gracebfc.com/conference. GraceBFC, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. You can also call them at 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229. And please tell them that you heard about their conference and the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg from Chris Arnson on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Now we're going to the November event, 9th and the 10th of November, at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Same denomination, different congregation. Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania is having the Glory of the Cross Conference, which is another conference in the series of Quakertown Conferences on Reformed Theology sponsored by the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. The speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. I plan on being there as well with an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth. Go to AllianceNet.org if you want to attend. AllianceNet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And then we have January 17th through the 19th. That's Thursday, January 17th through the 19th, which is a Saturday. The G3 Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center, on the theme, The Mission of God, a Biblical Understanding of Missions. The G3 Conference, by the way, stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory, or at least those three words, perhaps in a different order. I think it's Gospel, Grace, and Glory, now that I think about it. And I am going to be there for my third year in a row. I'm so excited. They are expecting their largest crowd ever, between 4,000 and 5,000 people. So I urge you not only to register as an attendee, but register for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning, if you have a church, parachurch ministry, or business that you want to promote in that crowd of 4,000 to 5,000 people. They are going to have, once again, a phenomenal lineup of speakers. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad M. Mbewe, my favorite preacher on the planet Earth, of Kabwata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also the Chancellor of African Christian University. Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of Grace TU, the Ministry of John MacArthur. We have Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, President of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more. So if you want more information, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you want to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You'll be able to donate instantly with a debit or credit card. Please never, ever, ever siphon money away from your local church, money that you would be normally giving to them, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please consider donating as much as you can and as frequently as you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at ironsharpensironradio.com and then click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Pastor Marungi Egweta, as we talk about the gospel of sovereign grace in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. The question now from Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, you were speaking about the Word of Faith movement being the most prevalent false gospel in Nairobi. Can you explain how many years that has been the case there? Because one would wonder how after a sufficient number of years, when people are still remaining in poverty, why they would still believe that this gospel is real. And that would lead me to the next question. Is Nairobi an affluent area, or is there a lot of poverty just like in some of the major cities of the United States?
How long? I think it is in the early 80s that the Word of Faith preachers became a bit vocal, and by the close of the last century, the Word of Faith movement became quite a force to reckon with, especially with the coming in of TBN and many other mass media kind of evangelism. So it's been there for quite a while, and it almost appears like there is that's the only way of doing of churchmanship. That's the only way of doing Christianity. So it's been there for quite a while. As I said, the poverty levels will be quite high. So Nairobi has a population of about 5 million people, and of that, there is a slum that has more than a million people living in it. It's estimated that more than 50% of the population of Nairobi live in slum areas. So it's not that affluent. I mean, for the greater part, you have people who are living below the poverty line, as you said.
And I guess I think our listener's question, Arnie's question, makes sense that why would people continue to believe that this is real when they remain in poverty after so many years? I would think that many people would say, wait a minute. This stuff is supposed to be, if our faith in God is real, this stuff is supposed to happen, if not instantaneously, very quickly. Why am I still as poor as can possibly be? And I'm sure that this is basically, I think, a universal phenomenon in any area of the world where there is poverty, whether it's in Africa or in the United States. But if you could tell us specifically, you have any thoughts on that, about what Arnie was saying?
I think what I would say is that the god of this world, the devil, has blinded people so that they do not see the truth as they should. For many people who may even be educated, and I've seen people who are educated following a cult leader who is simply not preaching the truth. So regardless of how irrational and how foolish it might appear to an outsider, unless the Lord himself moves in the heart of a person, they remain blinded to the truth, their hearts remain darkened, they cannot see the truth. It takes the Holy Spirit to help people see the deception of the evil.
Amen.
That's the answer that I would provide.
Yeah, you know what's ironic when I hear very wise and biblical things like you just said. The charismatic movement and the word of faith movement and the prosperity gospel, they will often make claims that they have a higher view of the Holy Spirit than those that are cessationists, and even more specifically, perhaps, those of us who are Calvinists. But isn't it interesting that we are the ones that believe that a man can't even have saving faith without a miracle of the Holy Spirit?
Right.
I think that we have a higher view than they will ever have, especially since what we are claiming about the Holy Spirit is actually biblical and true.
Well, I think that they may have a noisy view of the Holy Spirit, but they certainly don't have a higher view of the Holy Spirit.
You say a noisy view?
A noisier. I mean, they are louder in talking about the Holy Spirit, but they even in talking about the Holy Spirit, what do they talk about? They talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they talk about miracles, healing, and all that. On our part, we talk about the Holy Spirit being the one who gives spiritual life, and let the Holy Spirit regenerate a sinner. There's no way, you know, as the Lord told Nicodemus, unless you be born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And he said that it's the Holy Spirit who works in the hearts of people. So regeneration depends on the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who applies the work of Christ to sinners. It is the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of the Spirit in a believer. It's the Holy Spirit who gives spiritual gifts. It's the Holy Spirit who seals us for glory. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us. I mean, how can you say that the charismatic people have a higher view? I would say they have a louder view of the Holy Spirit.
And by the way, I would say also that I want to make it clear that I have many brethren in Christ who are Pentecostal and charismatic, who I share fellowship with, and a number of them are actually theologically reformed. I don't want to broad brush or disparage the entire movement, but even many of my friends who are charismatics or Pentecostal admit that some of the worst heretics come out of their own movement. So, but I don't want to broad brush and make it seem that I believe.
I think that's helpful.
I'm sorry, brother?
I said that's very helpful. We don't want to, you know, paint with a broad brush. That's correct.
Amen. And we have a friend, a mutual friend, Pastor Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Dublin, California, also the founder and president of First Love Radio. And he's also got a new position with Family Radio after their public repentance of the heresies of Harold Camping. Joe Jackowitz, who was actually on the staff there many years ago at Family Radio, and he has now returned, since they have returned to biblical soundness. But he, as I said, he is the founder and president of First Love Radio that live streams Iron Sharpens Iron every day. He has a question. He says, please ask Pastor Marungi about the upcoming First Love missions trip to the Trinity Baptist Church of Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, where there will be a huge pastors' conference and much literature distribution. Can you please explain that?
Yeah, we are trusting the Lord that in this coming year in February, the church in Nairobi, Trinity Baptist Church, will host a pastor's conference February 6-9, when we hope to have Pastor Joel Jakovich and other brethren come and expound the scriptures to the pastors in Nairobi as one of the ways that we trust the Lord could use to bring the truth of the Word of God, the true gospel. The theme of the conference is the one true gospel, so that all the preachers, all the men in Nairobi, and whoever may attend may know that salvation is by grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith in Him, for the glory of God.
Amen. And you can go to the website of Trinity Baptist Church of Nairobi, Kenya, Africa at trinity.or.ke, as in Edward. That's trinity.or.ke, as in Edward. And you can find out more information about that conference. We are going to our final break right now. That's a much shorter break than the last one. If you have questions for Pastor Marungi Egweta, please send them in now or forever hold your peace because we're rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Marungi Egweta with our final segment of today's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight
for me. Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
And don't forget, folks, about the Reformation Conference, Why the Reformation Still Matters at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, featuring guest speaker Mike Abendroth, who is a pastor, conference speaker, and author. That's Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th at Grace Bible Fellowship Church, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. For more details, you can go to gracebfc.com/conference. That's gracebfc, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church.com. /conference, and you could call Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania as well at 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229. I hope to see you there because I intend to be there both on Saturday, October 6th and Sunday, October 7th for the Reformation Conference on Why the Reformation Still Matters. And we are now back with our final segment of today's program with Pastor Marungi Egweta. And if you have a question, please send it now to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. You said earlier that the Reformed faith is a somewhat of a minority, or not even somewhat of a minority, it's a very small minority in the Nairobi area of Africa, Nairobi, Kenya. Is there cooperation of any kind with evangelicals outside of the Reformed faith because of, especially because you're such a small number of Christians, How do things like that work there? And perhaps you could also mention something about the interdenominational cooperation between Reformed churches of other denominations. For instance, you might have Reformed Baptists and Presbyterians and maybe even possibly some Reformed Anglicans, 39 Articles Anglicans, and so on. Tell us about that.
So, sadly, there are very few Reformed churches in Kenya of any other nature other than the Reformed Baptist. But at the beginning, earlier, 10 years ago, there was a collaboration between us and a Presbyterian church and a congregational church in setting up a pastor's conference. But as years progressed, all these churches, these other two churches, fell into the hands of unreformed pastors. And so that collaboration could not continue. As it is right now, what we are seeing is more Reformed Baptist churches coming up, either being planted or existing local churches going in a Reformed direction. For a long time, we were lone rangers in Nairobi. But as it is right now, there are about 10 churches in Nairobi that would be Reformed, at least in their theology, in their doctrine of salvation. We ourselves, as a church, have been involved in planting many churches in Kenya over the years, especially in rural Kenya. We have planted more than 40 churches since we began, and some of these churches are now independently functioning as local churches. So the Lord has blessed us to that extent, but still we are a very, very small minority in terms of our size and numbers. But since the Lord uses His truth, we are sure that the gospel will continue to bear fruit, even as He Himself works in the heart of men. Is there any collaboration with other churches? It's very hard to collaborate and to work together with churches that are not like-minded. It would tend to be more like a cooperative society. If you're not joined together on the basis of truth, it becomes very hard to work together because you're not of the same mind, you're not coming from the same difficulty. And even where we have sought such cooperation and collaboration with the other churches, it has not gone on for long.
By the way, I was just curious, how close is Nairobi to Liberia in Africa?
So Nairobi is in the eastern part of Africa, while Liberia is to the west of Africa. And the distance between them would not be less than 5 hours of flight.
Wow. The only reason I ask that is that I received word today from Free Presbyterian Radio in Liberia, West Africa, 92.5 FM. They have expressed to me a great interest in adding Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to their lineup there. David DeCanio, and I'm sorry, David, if I'm mispronouncing your last name, DeCanio, but David, who is there on staff at the Free Presbyterian Radio, 92.5 FM in Liberia, had reached out to me, and hopefully that will come to fruition. It'd be exciting to see what happens. We have, let's see here. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, I have heard Dr. Conrad Mbewe on your Iron Sharpens Iron radio program state that, sadly, churches in Africa have tended toward adopting the pagan practices of witch doctors and other pagan religions and incorporated them with Christianity. He has said that this is quite common in Zambia. I was wondering if your guest in Nairobi has experienced or witnessed the same kind of thing going on there.
Conrad Bewe is spot on. The practices that have been brought into churches are basically what was being practiced by witch doctors and sorcerers. So it's a way of, it's syncretic, to put it in another word. So I agree with Conrad that these churches have just brought in traditional religion and incorporated, added on Christianity as another add-on, and eventually what you have is not Christianity at all.
So in other words, you have witnessed this in Nairobi as well?
Yes, in Nairobi and across Kenya, because I travel a lot in Kenya and even in Africa, and that's what I see. Let me give an example.
By the way, brother, your voice has once again become quiet. If you could either turn up the volume on your mic or move closer to it or something.
Okay. Is that clear now?
Well, it's, I think, a little louder.
All right. I was just saying that Conrad Berry is spot on, and that's the situation in Kenya. So I was going to give an example where a preacher or a pastor, they may call themselves, would tell this congregation that if they bought anointing oil, they would get olive oil, put it in bottles, and they would say that if you bought it and went and anointed your new car or your newly built home or your desk at your place of work, you're likely to be promoted, you're likely to have more money, and they would assure them that that's what's going to happen. And then they are supposed to give them money to get this anointing oil. And that can be said of brooms, that is sweeping brooms, handkerchiefs. They would promise people healing out of that. And really, it is witchcraft. It's not more than that, because that's all invisible sex.
Yes, that's obviously very common in Roman Catholicism as well, where you have merchants selling all kinds of so-called blessed items, whether they be statues or trinkets or baubles of other kinds, that have allegedly been given holy powers of some kind, even to protect the lives of people, just by having them on their bodies or something, just because they've been blessed, so-called, by a priest. So it's interesting that those that would claim to be out of evangelicalism and out of the Protestant Reformation would have that kind of thing be resurrected amongst themselves, really mimicking the worst of Rome's heretics.
but we need to also thank God, because I also began hearing people say that we are tired of buying anointing oil, we are tired of buying handkerchiefs and rooms. These do not work. And I constantly encourage them, no, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord is stirring a desire for the truth and also giving them insights to know that this does not work.
Well, what I want you to do now, before we run out of time, is have 5 minutes really to just speak to the hearts of our listeners, give them all of what you would most want them to remember after this program, what you most want etched in their hearts and minds, if you could have now 5 minutes of uninterrupted time.
Thank you so much. I wish to draw our attention to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul says in verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And the point is, unless Christ becomes the center of our thinking, the center of our trust and of our faith, everything else is not worth anything. Because Christ and Him crucified is the hope, and the only hope for sinners. Christ came into this world to save sinners, even the foremost. And any sinner, regardless of the sin that he's committed or how long he's wallowed in sin, who turns to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, depending on Christ and Him alone, he has absolute certainty of having the sins forgiven and having the hope of eternal life. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. Paul said to Timothy that this is a trustworthy saying and it's worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the foremost. So no one should think that he is beyond the grace of God on the one hand. And on the other hand, those who have been saved by the grace of God have the assurance of knowing that they soon will enter the kingdom of God. They will come into the presence of God and enter through the gates of the celestial city. That's the assurance that we have from the Word of God. And we need to rejoice in that truth and not lose it. Christians, we need to serve the Lord, love the Lord, trust in Him, and spread the honors of the name of Christ across the globe, whether to our children at home, or to our spouses, or to our colleagues at work, wherever you are, you need to be a faithful ambassador of Jesus Christ in your place of work and wherever you are. And then we look forward to that time when we will forever be with the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. You mentioned that anyone who believes in Christ will be saved. And can you tell us, since we do have time, what the difference, however, because this is a very serious thing, what the difference is between a true faith or belief and a false faith? There are multitudes of people who say they believe in Jesus Christ and have faith in Jesus Christ, but as Jesus Christ himself warned, as we read in Matthew, that there will be many that come to him that day on the last day, the judgment day, and say, Lord, Lord, did we not perform miracles in your name and cast out demons in your name? And he will say, be gone, you workers of unrighteousness, I never knew you. Obviously, these were not people who lost their salvation. Jesus said to them, I never knew you. So if you could, tell our listeners, what is the difference between true faith and false faith?
So true faith acknowledges that Jesus Christ and none other is the only one able to save by his work. Is obedient, he perfectly obeyed the law of God, and by his death he paid the penalty due to us for our sin. You believe in Christ and you repent of your sin. And that faith would be demonstrated by the kind of life that you live. If you believe in Christ, you repent of your sins, then that would be shown in a life of obedience. You obey the law of God, you love the gospel of Christ, and you want to live for His glory. So any faith that falls short of holiness is not true faith. It may be spurious faith, it may be temporary faith, because, you know, the Lord in the parable of the sower gave various categories of people, some who hear and they rejoice in it, but then they do not persevere in it, and others who hear, believe, that is, accept and trust in Christ, and live accordingly by bearing the fruit. And that's the same gospel that John the Baptist was preaching. You bear the fruit of repentance. And that's what Paul said. Live a life worthy of repentance. So that's the difference. Anyone who professes to believe in Christ but is living a life of disobedience is not living the true faith of in Christ.
Well, we are out of time. I want to make sure that our listeners know that you can find out more information about Trinity Baptist Church of Nairobi at trinity.or.ke, trinity.or.ke. For more information about the conference that's being held featuring our guest and others, you can go to firstloveradio.com. That's firstloveradio.com. and that is the ministry of Joe Jackowitz. And I'm sorry, firstloveradio.org. I apologize. Firstloveradio.org. And that is the ministry of Joe Jackowitz that live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. Firstloveradio.org. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Igueta, for being on the program. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who wrote in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.